Now, they do say that all of us have at least one book in us. Now, is that true? What's it like to write a book? Can you write a book when you are visually impaired? Well, one man who has taken on the challenge of writing a book, it's called I Was Blind, I Was Deaf, is Bill Skipworth, and yet he wrote this book many years ago. Hi, Bill.
Hello, hello. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. So you wrote this book, what was it, 15 years ago?
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. And I tried it on my mother-in-law and various friends, and they said it was absolute rubbish, and so I just put it in a bottom drawer for about 10 years.
So tell us about the book, because we should say you have lived with vision problems for the last, well, it's quite a number of years now, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm from 36 to 65, I've had a visual problem, so that's quite a number of years, 29 years, yeah.
And yet when you wrote this book, your sight wasn't too bad, was it?
No, no, I could see, I have a residual sight now with what you'd call tunnel vision. I'm blind in my right eye, and then I have sight loss at the bottom of the left eye, so I can see in the middle and at the top of my left eye, which in the blind world, having any vision is wonderful, isn't it? It's really good.
The book's called I Was Blind, I Was Deaf. An unusual title, because the book actually, I would categorise as fantasy science fiction. Would I be right in that?
That's right. It is what you call, you know, these fantasy words people use. The science fiction genre. You have to use this word genre, don't you? But the strange thing is, people have read it. Well, obviously, because it's on audio, it's sort of, I find it difficult to say read it. It's more like hear it, isn't it, really, in the blind world. But they, even though they don't like science fiction, they enjoy this book, you know. And they used to say to me, "It's not my cup of tea," but actually, Bill, I really enjoyed it. So that's so if you're someone who switches off with the word science fiction, do read it, because it's not what you expect. I mean, did you find that when you heard it?
Yeah, I mean, the main characters are Colin and Nilik, aren't they?
That's right.
And they're from two ends of the universe with completely opposite lives.
That's right. You've got it in a nutshell, yeah, because... And what's interesting is that these two different worlds, again, you've got to hear the book, because, I mean, having... You know, I know you've heard it, and trying to explain it, you just get into a complete mess, don't you? Because it's just... You can't explain it till you hear it, but you get it when you hear it and what the story is about. But obviously, the thing that comes across is sight. Some friends of mine who have been sighted and have lost the sight get very moved by, you know, these... Because part of the story, one of the characters has this most unbelievable sight, but it's not like normal earthly sight. It can see, you know, the whole spectrum, which is sort of... Well, again, I don't want to go and bore you with it all, but, you know, there's light around us, but a lot of the stuff we don't see because our eyes aren't designed to see it, you know, like microwaves and X-rays and infrared, ultraviolet. There's all these electromagnetic radiation all over, but we don't see it. Although, funnily enough, there's a prawn that can see lots of these wavelengths that we can't see, which is quite comical, really, because why does prawn have the ability to see these wavelength, but we don't, you know. But what I sort of play about with is that what is moral on Earth and what is moral on this planet on the other side of the universe is different, you know, which comes out in the story. And it's quite comical, really, because, you know, the man that was an alien that is born as a human being, he has these ideas of what he should do, and they're all sort of wrong. I mean, did you pick up on that with the... in the story?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is somebody's been catapulted from one end of the universe into a completely different body, so there's a whole rediscovery of who am I, and also, not only that, the sight that he had originally, he has now got vision, he's got eyes, so he's having to learn what it's like to actually see in this way. So, you know, you do feel the whole struggling to come to terms with, am I actually having mental problems or what's going on, you know?
That's right, because it's because again, you see, he when he's in hospital, because I think he's a complete nutter, basically, when he's, you know, when he again, you've got to read the story to get the idea, and he thinks he's blind, you know, because there's a bit where he's weeping and he's crying because he can only see seven colours, which is what, you know, the normal number of colours that we see. And normally he sees thousands and thousands in his old body. He sees thousands and thousands of colours, so he's sort of absolutely crying his eyes out because he can't see, he's blind. You know, from his idea, he's blind. But, of course, the doctors look at him and say, but you've got 20/20 vision. You know, you're not blind at all, which I find that quite turning sight upside down in a way, isn't it?
Then, of course, Colin, he's been used to sight. His life hasn't really amounted to much.
Exactly.
And he ends up imprisoned. But he seems to have a gift that seems to work for him, and that changes people's perception of him in this new place, doesn't it?
That's right, that's right. And the other thing, I mean, there's various themes in it. I mean, funnily enough, a friend of mine, because there's different levels of understanding in the book, she's heard it two or three times because she keeps thinking that I keep, you know, finding new things. But one of the interesting things with is newly found sight. Well, he's just in sort of enraptured, isn't he? Because he's just so blown away by all the colours that he can see, thousands and thousands of colours, which he's normally used to seeing seven. Human beings can usually just see seven. And he's just absolutely blown away with it all, isn't he? He's just enraptured all the time.
So what gave you the idea? Because it's quite an involved story, and the detail and the description in it is to a really high degree.
Oh, right. That's very kind of you to say that. But the thing is, I mean, I was making notes, actually, about it, you know, about the interview. And the thing is, my life, obviously, you know, I'm now nearly 65. And, of course, I've had, you know, sight problems since I was 36. So, obviously, it's been a big issue in my life, you know, my sight problems. And but also, you know, I used to be a dentist. So there's a bit of medical knowledge in that. I don't know whether you picked that up when some of the story, there's a bit of medical knowledge because the doctors are a bit confused about his condition, aren't they, at one point?
Yeah, yeah.
And because I'm sort of in the hospital environment, you know, when I was training as a dentist and stuff, so that comes out. And also, I mean, the other thing that comes out is that I had a conversion experience, you know, to Christianity when I was 20, which is 45 years ago. And that has been like a backbone of my life, you know, for 45 years. And this comes out, you know, my faith comes out in the book. And I must admit, it almost came out without me even sort of trying in a way, you know. You noticed how sort of the strange way of looking at things. But again, I don't want to go on too much because, you know, I don't want to bore people with it, but it's there's an awful lot in it, isn't there? And again, people's perceptions of the book, I mean, on one hand, I've got a blind couple that, in Sheffield called Catherine and Mike, and they were absolutely ecstatic about it, you know, about how good it was. In fact, embarrassed me by, you know, saying how good it was. And then on the other hand, we have people saying, oh, you know, it's a rubbish book, I don't like it, you know. And it's just, and everything in between, really. So I find people's reactions to it very sort of interesting in a way. Obviously, I want people to enjoy it. Because the important thing is, I want people to think this is a good read. You know, when you go on holiday and you read a good book, and you enjoy it, and you think, oh, that's brilliant, that, you know, and that's what I want, you know, and it's written particularly for the blind community, because I think people who have got a sight condition, are totally blind or partially sighted, will understand, you know, where I'm coming from, because obviously they're experiencing these problems, you know, from a day-to-day basis. So, and also there's deafness in it as well, and again, I think if anybody's listening and anybody's in the blind, in the deaf community, it would be great, because I understand that you need someone to actually do the story in sign language on a video, and so that they can understand the book, you know, in that way. Because I understand in the deaf world, not all deaf people can read. So even if it was in a written form, you know, it might not access them. So again, it's sort of making loads of problems. I'm creating problems out of the book, you know, just by sort of getting it out there, really.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that, because it's become a real labour of love, hasn't it, this?
Oh, it has, because, I mean, you've experienced, I sent you a copy, which I was really pleased with, and there was something wrong with it, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was something that just on the first CD, but the rest were fine.
Oh, was it? Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I had the problem of getting you another CD, and then all these sort of aspects of trying to get it out there. This is and I mean this is wonderful, you know, because I must admit, can I just praise Sheffield Royal Society for the Blind, SRSB, because they have done. I mean, honestly, talk about professional. I don't know if you've noticed, it's in a format of four CDs, and it's all beautifully packaged, and it's brilliant, you know. And anyway, as we speak, they've got a great big pile there ready for the demand for the book, which is what I'm really, really hopeful for, because if you hear the book or read the book, it would make a brilliant film. I mean, that's my dream. I mean, you've read it. I mean, don't you think it would make a brilliant film?
I could see it as a film, yeah. I could see it as a film, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the bit where they're on is on the alien planet, it would have to be CGI. It would have to be very, very highly skilled CGI. Because, you know, trying to portray that in reality is going to be very difficult, isn't it? You know?
And it's quite interesting, doesn't it, how the mind can make these pictures up in your head. And, you know, my picture in my head might not be the same as the picture in your head, Bill, but it still works.
Yes, that's right. But what was interesting is that the bodies of the aliens on the other side of the universe obviously are not like our bodies. And this totally blind friend of mine said that she always thinks of them as looking like bubbles. You know, because you know when you see a bubble, you know, with all the colours radiating off a bubble, you know, if you're sighted or have been sighted. And she always thinks of the aliens as looking like that, which I thought was quite a strange way of looking at it. But yeah, it's another way of looking at it, isn't it?
And the book itself, it's not a long book, so it's probably about 4 hours in total, isn't it?
That's right. Each CD takes an hour to listen to, but it's very important that you hear the first CD intact. I mean, this was a problem that you had, wasn't it? Because if you don't hear the first CD properly, it gives you the picture of the book as a whole. You know, you've got to hear that first CD, and then it all slots into place. It's a bit like a jigsaw, isn't it? You know, the way it develops. And again, a friend of mine again said there's everything in it. I mean, there's, you know, there's tragedy, there's love, there's there's everything really in it.
There's discovery, there's redemption.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And right at the end, I mean, this friend of mine, she cried her eyes out because I'm just giving this away, but at the very end, it's a bit of a sad ending, isn't it?
I'm not going to spoil the ending.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but it is a sad ending. And apparently she cried her eyes out, which I thought, wow, you know, that's amazing. And one of these ladies is quite a tough cookie, and I'm thinking, good grief. It's a bit like sort of making Margaret Thatcher cry, you know. I thought, good grief, you know. I can't believe that something I've written has actually made people cry, you know. But there's a lot of humour in it. I mean, did you notice that?
Yeah, it's not a heavy book.
No, the thing that I was paranoid about was I don't want anybody to be bored, you know, when they're listening to it. But I think the way it reads, you're wanting to know what happens next, you know, and you just want to hear what happens next, which I was very pleased about that. You know, there isn't anything where you think, oh, this is tedious and boring, you know, I'm not bothering with this anymore, But having said that, I mean, some people have given up with it. You know, some people have just said, oh, I don't like it, and not bothered listening to it. So, I don't know, what did you feel? Did you want to hear all of it?
Well, it's all subjective, Bill, isn't it? Some people are going to like your book and some people aren't. It's a fact of life, I suppose.
Well this is it. This is what's... Because I know my sister is in a book club, and she was raving about this particular book that had been written, and everybody was raving about it, but one lady in the book club thought it was rubbish. You know, and so again, it's very odd, isn't it? It's different. I suppose it's a bit like musical taste, isn't it? Because, you know, I'm always mystified by people who like heavy metal music, because after 2 minutes of heavy metal music, I think this is just boring, tedious. I'm not interested in it, you know. So I think it's a bit like that with stories, isn't it? Sometimes people just click onto the story and want to hear the rest of it, and another time they just switch off. I don't know. It's very strange, isn't it? The human condition. And the book is about the human condition. So, it's quite a good reflection of it in a way.
Well, the book's called I Was Blind, I Was Deaf. How do we get a hold of a copy of the book, Bill?
Well, this is the important bit of information. I have just done this on the computer. If you just type in SRSB, just four letters, FRSB, it will actually come up with Sheffield Royal Society for the Blind in Sheffield, and there's the website there and everything, and it will give the number, and they have a copy of the book. It only costs $5.99, and you can pay by credit card over the phone, and they will package it up and post it to you.
So the book, I Was Blind, I Was Deaf. Bill Skipworth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.